Welcome to Choice Tunes, and it's my pleasure to present Choice Tunes. We know the idea there. We get somebody in that's probably a bit better known than the rest of us around the neighbourhood, someone who was either involved in business or in the community, and we find out about their lives, what brought them to the stage of their lives where they are now, but also the music that's played part of their lives. Now, I've been telling you that you would know of this person because you've heard them on Yarra Valley, but it's definitely not one of our presenters. But it's my pleasure to introduce Saskia from Forever Friends. How are you, Saskia?
I'm very well, Alan. Thank you.
It's great to have you along. Now, the idea of this show, we want to know a little bit about yourself, but we also want to know the music that's played a part of your life. So can I ask you where you were born, please, Saskia?
I was born and raised in Hawthorne.
In Hawthorne?
Yeah.
Bit of a difference to what you're doing now.
Absolutely. Lovely old part of Hawthorne in an old Victorian house.
And how long were you in Hawthorne? Like, did all your growing up stage? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, Hawthorne was my spot till I was, early 30s.
Oh, right.
I was
really
much a city kid, yeah.
All right, so we don't worry about school because everybody went to some form of school.
Mm.
So what was your first job? Was it a part-time job when you were at school, or was it was your first job part-time or full-time?
Oh, the first really significant job I had, which was 4 days a week, so I suppose you'd call that part-time, was at Penguin Books.
So what, in a bookshop or?
No, at a publisher.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And what did you do there?
Yeah, so I was an editor in my previous life before I started the charity Forever Friends Animal Rescue.
So did you go straight from school? You wouldn't go straight from school to being an editor, though, would you?
No, I did a Bachelor of Arts majoring in English
right.
at Melbourne Uni.
Yep.
And after that, I did a graduate diploma in publishing at Monash. So I was all set up to, spend my life working in publishing and with books and writers.
Right. So you were there for how long?
10 years.
10 years.
10 wonderful years. I really loved it.
All right. So let's just tell us a little bit what the editor does, because somebody presents you with a book, but that's not necessarily the end of it, is it?
Like, not at all.
So what would the editor do to that book?
Well, sometimes a manuscript's accepted and it's in pretty good nick, and the editor only has to really sort of make sure the punctuation, the grammar's all okay.
Right.
Other times you might have to do a really big structural edit, so that's literally moving chapters around or,
because it didn't make
developing
any sense.
The plot. Yeah, just making the plot a bit tighter or, a bit more exciting, better pace. You might ask the author to develop some of the characters in the book a bit more. So it's a really creative role, and you really end up collaborating with an author and sort of feeling like, the second author in a way. Yeah,
so
but you don't get your name on the cover.
Obviously you enjoyed that, but what made you stop doing that?
Well, I planned to be, working publishing my whole life. So, something very significant happened, and it was a little dog called Ned.
Yep.
And Ned was a little Jack Russell mix foxy who came to me from Mildura Pound.
Right.
And my job was to be his foster mum. And I'd heard about the need for foster carers in the community for homeless pets. And I just had a breakup with my fiance, and I'd moved into a house I'd built for us in Hawthorne alone.
So you have plenty of room.
So I moved into this house alone, feeling very sorry for myself. And I heard about fostering, and I'd always loved animals, so I thought I'll sign up and be a foster mum. And so I picked up this little foster dog, Ned, one day, and he came home with me, and I was, still recovering from the breakup, feeling pretty sad. And the night, the first night he was there, I turned out the light, and once the light was out, I felt these little paws climbing up the side of the bed. And he was very shyly coming up to near the pillow area, and he put his little head on my shoulder. and we slept there like that that night. And
so you were won over.
I was won over, and I just thought, wow, you know, if Ned's one of the animals that are dying in our pounds and shelters, yep. which they do by, you know, hundreds of thousands every year, if this is the sort of little animal who's losing their life, I have to do more to help these animals in need. So Ned inspired me to give publishing away and
so
that whole career.
On the strength of Ned, you threw your job in.
Threw my job in.
And fostering doesn't pay.
No.
So how, I don't want to know your personal circumstances. We're not doing that. But how did you go from a full paid job down to a non-paying job? I mean, what was in your mind when you, apart from your love for animals? We've all got to pay bills.
That's right. So I had a plan. I was going to do freelance editing because I'd done, you know, a good 10 years in the industry. So I thought I could work for myself and have my own clients, and I'll just do rescuing animals in my spare time. Yeah. But you can imagine what happened. Rescuing became the whole full time, and I didn't have much time left to actually pursue making money. So I've been very luckily helped, you know, supported by my mum, my family, and my husband in more recent years. Eric is, you know, has helped pay the bills. I still do a bit of editing on the side when I can, but most of the time I just have to be thankful for my family who's helped support this path now.
Terrific. All right, we're going to ask you more, but the first song we're going to play is Donna Muscuri and Amazing Grace. Why did you pick that?
Well, my earliest, happiest memories are of listening to music with my mum, my beloved mum, Rosemary. And she introduced me to my love of music. And she always had music on in our house, particularly at dinner time when she was cooking. And she'd have Nana Muscuri was one of her favourites, and Mary O'Hara and all the great opera singers. So I had a wonderful early musical education, and Nana Muscuri is often, you know, pilloried and teased, but she has the most incredible bell-like voice, and Amazing Grace is just one of the best songs of all time. And I thought, you know what? Her version is probably one of the best. It's a cappella, there's no accompaniment, and it's incredibly moving, I think.
Let's play it.
Like me, I
beautiful song. All right, so you're now down in Hawthorne. You've got this little Ned. So obviously you've chucked your job in, and so now you start looking for a few other pets. So you is that right? You're now gradually getting a number of pets down in Hawthorne?
I started to, look at starting the charity Forever Friends so I could make more of a difference.
Straight away, did you?
I still fostered for the other rescue group for about 3 years, and right. I did some fundraising and communications for them just to help, raise some money for the cause.
Yep.
Yeah, and kept fostering mainly dogs and cats as well, and just fell in love with, the animals who were so in need, neglected, elderly, abused, sick, who'd just been dealt a really nasty blow by life and their owners, yeah.
All right, so now you're down in Hawthorne. You've got probably a menagerie by now. So how did you take the next step? And how long before you thought, well, this house is no good, it's too small, the neighbour's going to throw me out. So how did you go from there to start to get, obviously a few acres or something?
Well, it's quite funny, actually. I lived next door to my sister at the time. She was in the back unit and I was in the front unit, my beloved sister Meg, and she actually kicked me out.
Oh, did she?
She said, I'm so sick of all these animals being, on this block, my boyfriend can't visit because he's scared of dogs and you've got too many dogs. And she got the jack of it and said, you need to go to the country. You need to leave and head to a bigger property. And I was really offended at the time
because
loved my little house. But in the end, she was absolutely spot on, and I'd always loved the country. So it was just, I was spurred into it, and I'm glad she did in the end.
And what made you pick this area?
Well, first of all, we picked Macclesfield. When I say we, my mum and I found a place, and we had little 9 acres at Macclesfield near Emerald,
right,
which was beautiful. But soon enough, that was not big enough. Because even though we used to just rescue dogs and cats at Forever Friends, once we had a few acres at Macclesfield, word got around and we started to get request, can you help this horse? Can you help my goat? Oh. And soon enough, that property filled up too.
Yep. So then, what happened then?
So then, by then, Eric and I had married, and we needed to find a place together with more space. So just started looking around and found this 100 acres at Gladysdale just up the road here.
Where
we are now. Yeah. So much bigger property and, more space for all the animals that need us.
All right. So it must have been, and we won't worry about Eric too much, but it must have been a pretty big thing to say to Eric, well, I'm never going to get a job and I want to buy 100 acres and I want to save animals. How did you tell him that? And B, what was his first reaction?
Well, I'd already started the charity before we became a couple, and I actually met as years ago, we lived in the same street in Hawthorne, and I knew he was a dog lover. So when I started my charity, I said, hey, Ez, do you mind helping foster some dogs? So we got closer via our love of animals.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so he's always been a huge support.
So it wasn't a huge surprise when you said,
no,
I want to move.
No, and he'd always had ideas of being a farmer when he was younger and didn't get to fulfil that. So I think it was quite good
meant
timing for him too. He just retired. Yeah, but
Goanna, solid rock. Why
indeed? Look, Shane Howard is just such an incredible singer-songwriter, and I've got a really amazing memory of dancing to this in my bedroom at age 7 or 8 when it came out. And when you're so little, you've really got no concept about politics and, the real meaning behind a song. But this one really spoke to me. I just knew there was some heavy concepts in here and I didn't really understand it. But I knew it was something important. There was a real message in this song. And I noticed one of the words he used was genocide. And as a little kid, I had no idea what that meant. And I remember going to look it up in the dictionary, and that he was talking about, what the Aboriginal people of our country had gone through. And so I had a really early education on race relations through music. And so I've always loved listening to songs that had a message and that were going to teach me something, particularly about history.
Let's listen.
Was one of those.
Let's listen.
someone like.
With Miss Saskia from Forever Friends, and we've talked to her a number of times. And I should mention too, go onto our website down on the website on the podcast. You'll see on the left hand side there's a sign that says podcast. Click on that. There'll be another page come up with my smiling face. Underneath that, it's Community Connections. Click on that. Go down and you'll hear all about Forever Friends, because we've had Saskia in a couple of times. So while we're going to be talking mainly about her today, if you want to know more about the about her charity, please do it. Sorry about that. U2 Pride, why did you pick that?
I've got a really lovely memory of going to my first big concert at the age of 13 with my elder sister, Rebecca, and it was U2 at the Melbourne Tennis Centre, and it changed my life, that concert.
Did it?
Yeah. I think there's just something incredible about a band that, you know, has played together for 45 years now, early 60s. Yeah. They're still together, and their music really appealed to me because it always had a message as well. There was, you know, the story about Martin Luther King in this particular song. And all my peers at that time were listening to stuff like Bananarama and New Kids on the Block and Madonna and, you know, just really lightweight stuff. But to hear songs that actually were about issues that mattered and people that mattered just, you know, really gave me a wake-up call as just a young kid. So I've always loved their music since then.
Let's play it.
One man, he
Welcome back to Choice Tunes, and we'll get Saskia just to mention later on before we go her website so you can have a look at what they do up at Forever Friends. And I know they're always looking for donations of in-kind or some dollars, so we'll get Saskia to tell that towards the end. But at the moment, we're talking about Saskia. Saskia, Archie Roach, a child was born here. Why?
Oh, well, Archie Roach, what a legend and what a loss to for him to have passed away. I was really fortunate to have met Archie once back in my 20s and sit around a kitchen table with him in a country cottage in Warrnambool while he was playing guitar with Ruby, his wife, mourning the loss of a local elder. And, yeah, it was a really special memory for me to have been in his presence.
Let's play it.
Sun and it orders Support the Yarra Valley FM 99.1 Studio Relocation Fundraising Appeal. Visit www.yarravalleyfm.org.au today.
Yeah, it would be great if you could donate by going to our website, or you can drop into the station and drop some money off, no matter how little or how much. We'd love to for you to be part of our relocation. But we're talking to Saskia from Forever Friends. All right, Saskia, we've played a few songs now. We need to get back and find out a bit more about you. You created Forever Friends a long while ago, or your charity, whether it was called that or not, it doesn't matter to start with. You're now a 100-acre property. So how did you transition? Like, you don't only have, well, have people just coming up to your door, obviously, and dropping off pets. I know that you're a lot bigger organisation than that. So would you like to tell the listeners how you get some of these pets?
Yeah, so we focus on rescuing death row animals. So that's mainly cats and dogs in pounds and shelters who've been, you know, dumped or are unclaimed strays. And we've had to negotiate relationships with each one of those shelters and pounds to say, we are a group who, you know, want to help animals. We've got responsible foster carers and trainers ready to help with the rehabilitation of these animals medically, behaviourally, and please let us help.
So, but I don't want to cut across you, but I think it's important that you go a little step further than that. You don't only go to the local pound just down the road, do you?
No, we rescue all over Victoria and sometimes interstate too. So a lot of we work with a lot of country pounds, Mildura, Swan Hill, Bendigo, Ballarat.
And you have to go and pick these animals up, don't you?
Yeah, very often. And it's just heartbreaking work at the moment because they're all overflowing. They're all desperately asking for people to adopt animals from pounds or shelters or for rescues to take the animals.
Why is that, Saskia?
It seems to be largely due to the pandemic, would you believe? A lot of people adopted puppies particularly.
And they were warned not to do that,
weren't they? And so these animals are all about 2 years old now. They're untrained. They're unsocialised. They've become a problem. They're no longer the cute puppy anymore. So they're getting dumped.
It's tragic, isn't it?
It's really terrible. So, we've got a waiting list and we're just desperately trying to help more animals, but we're really restricted without more foster carers.
Yeah, so I guess that's something that you'd like to appeal for. You want foster carers, you want people who are prepared to donate a bit of money because these animals have to be fed and it costs money. And I guess you're also looking for volunteers to help as well, aren't you?
Always looking for volunteers too, yeah, but particularly foster carers right now and adopters. You know, if this is a time where you can fit, you know, one more little four-legged creature in your heart and home, we would love to hear from you. Yeah.
And we'll give the details before you go. All right, Sanctuary by Luca Bloom. How did that make the cut?
That song I heard at a time when I just lost a beloved grandfather, and I found out, and playing that song over and over gave me a lot of comfort at the time with my grief, and I only found out later he'd written that when he lost his mum, and it's a song he wrote about his grief for his mum. So no wonder I connected with it at that time when I was missing Pop.
Right, let's listen to it.
Quickly time speeds. I dreamed I stopped the sunrise that day. Still the breeze that carried you away. This loss is everywhere. I can touch and feel your life there. By the power of my desire, be warned and made secure. Be warned and made secure. And I will leave daffodils where you lie now. In words that echo through the night, sanctuary. An easy voice making everything alright. This loss is everywhere. I can touch and feel your light there. By the power of my desire, be warm and made secure. Be warm.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes, and we're talking to Siska from Forever Friends. Now, Siska, we like to ask the really big questions, so we put you right on the spot here. What was the first car you ever bought that you owned yourself?
Oh, okay. Old Peugeot.
A Peugeot?
Yeah, second-hand Peugeot.
What made you buy a Peugeot?
At the time, I was always really worried about road safety, and I heard that that was a good car in terms of, you know, crash test results and all of that sort of thing. And I was a nervous young driver, so I went for an old Peugeot.
Well, and I've got to say, both Peugeots and the Volvos always had a good reputation, didn't they?
Definitely. So that was the choice at the time, but it was an absolute lemon.
Off of the old cars, huh? And probably cost you more in repairs than what the car costs.
Absolutely. It didn't go well.
Folk Train, proud Fenian men. How did that get in there?
Folk Train is a band I was in for a good 10, 12 years.
Doing what?
Another strange part of my life, well, fun part of my life, I played the fiddle.
Did you?
Yeah, and we only stopped playing during the pandemic when all the festivals were cancelled.
Oh, so is that recent?
It's quite recent, yeah, and a really happy part of my life. Again, just rehearsing once a week and playing the odd gig in the hills and some of the folk festivals. But one of our band members very tragically passed away earlier this year from cancer, John McDonald. And we haven't been able to put things back together. We're very, obviously, grief-stricken about that. And
will it come back, though, do you think?
I hope so. Maybe one day. It's been a very happy part of my life. So this is one of the songs that Chris Stack wrote.
All right, let's listen to it.
Thank you.
Saskia, it's been terrific. We've been working our way through your life. We know a lot more about you now. Thank you so much for doing that, and thank you for putting the songs together. Just before we do go, today is really all about you, but we do need to, and we have talked about Forever Friends because it's a big part of your life, 7 days a week. And you were saying you can't even get a holiday.
Very hard to get away. There's always, you know, endless phone calls and emails waiting of, you know, more animals that need us. So,
yeah. So if people are listening today and they want to get involved, whether it be with donations or foster animals or adopt animals, how are they going to get hold of you?
We'd love you to jump to our website.
Which is?
foreverfriends.org.au.
Righto, jump on that and away we go. Last song coming up, Fisher, I Will Love You.
Well, it wouldn't be right to not include this song because it was our wedding song. So for my husband Ez and I, this was a special song for us, and he's put up with me in this crazy lifestyle that we live for a good 10 years now. So,
but we know he's been in here, so he doesn't see, he's come along with you when you've done the interviews for Forever Friends, and it doesn't look to me as though it's too much of a hassle for him.
Well, he's my partner in grime and he puts up with a lot, so this one's for you, Ez.
All right, so we shall play. That's Fisher, I Will Love You. Thank you for coming in, Saskia. We've enjoyed hearing a bit about your life. We know a little bit more about you now, and we'll certainly get you back in the new year, but we'll be talking about Forever Friends again. In the interim, if you possibly can, foster care for her, please give a ring. It's foreverfriends.org.au. No worries. Thank you very much, Saskia.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Thanks.
Last time